From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, February 18th. I'm Abby Larico. Hundreds of formerly incarcerated people in Missouri get access to a fully paid apartment and other resources after leaving prison. It's provided by the Criminal Justice Ministry in St. Louis. One case manager says he is helping others land on their feet, just as he was once helped through the program.
My past, I was a drug addict, and I was sitting around the tables, we were smoking, getting high. I decided to give CJM a chance.
How the program is giving people a chance, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The winter storm coming through the region today is projected to dump 2 to 5 inches of snow on St. Louis, with more falling to the south. Matt Beicher is the lead meteorologist with the St. Louis office of the National Weather Service. He says the heaviest snow will come down during the afternoon commute.
Generally speaking, between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. is when we expect the worst impacts in St. Louis.
Beicher says there could be more snow overnight with low temperatures in the single digits. He advises people to travel today only if they absolutely have to. And Missouri Department of Transportation workers started their back-to-back 12-hour shifts last night at 7. Bob Becker is the district maintenance engineer for MoDOT's St. Louis office. He says he's hopeful snow removal will be easier this time than in previous storms this season.
Yeah, this is going to be a very different storm, of course. It's a lighter, fluffier snow, so that'll make things better for that. And like I said, my biggest concern going into this winter was inexperience for our folks, and we gained a lot of experience during those big storms.
Becker says because of the low temperatures, crews are not pre-treating roads and will clear them as the snow falls. Planned Parenthood officials say they will begin scheduling abortion appointments at a clinic in St. Louis this week. STLPR Sarah Fentum reports the appointments will mark the first time the clinic's workers have performed the procedure in years.
Planned Parenthood did not offer abortions even after voters last year passed Amendment 3. That measure put the right to an abortion in the Missouri Constitution. But providers argued remaining licensing requirements still kept them from accepting abortion patients. On Friday, a Kansas City judge ordered that the requirements were discriminatory and put a temporary hold on the rules. Over the weekend, a clinic in Kansas City began providing abortions. Margot Riphagen is the CEO of Planned Parenthood Great Rivers. She says the St. Louis clinic will soon follow suit.
So it's all a matter of making sure that our current patients, right, that they keep their appointments that they've already made and that we're able to create the room here.
The organization in recent years has offered abortion care at its Illinois clinic in Fairview Heights. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Now Coalition Life Executive Director Brian Westbrook and other anti-abortion activists say they will resume demonstrating outside Missouri clinics.
We stand here today because Planned Parenthood and their allies want to destroy life and not protect it. And we believe Missouri women deserve far better than their reckless, profit-driven agenda.
Westbrook argues the licensing requirements kept women and their fetuses safe. Today is the first day of early voting for St. Louis's municipal primary. There are contested primaries for mayor and comptroller, as well as to represent the 3rd and 11th wards at the Board of Aldermen. The city has had approval voting since 2021. That means voters can pick some or all of the candidates in any race. The top two advance to April's general election. Information on all of the candidates in the March 4th primary, plus early voting locations, in our voter's guide at stlpr.org. St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery says he doesn't believe he did anything wrong detaining Deputy Jail Commissioner Tammy Ross after an incident at the city jail Friday. STLPR's Chad Davis reports.
Montgomery says he and other investigators wanted to speak with the detainee after an alleged sexual assault by a sheriff's deputy. Montgomery says Ross initially okayed the questioning before he and others in the sheriff's office were denied access. Montgomery says he ordered a deputy to handcuff Ross.
We can detain anyone of reason, of course, and if we have suspicions that an individual is breaking the law, we can detain them until further investigation.
A spokesperson from Mayor Tashara Jones said the sheriff's office does not run the jail or conduct investigations. An SLMPD spokesperson says it will investigate the assault, but it's referring the incident with Montgomery to the FBI. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Metro East educators, representatives from teachers' unions, and their local congresswoman gathered in Fairview Heights yesterday. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, they're all worried about President Donald Trump's intentions to shut down the Department of Education.
If the Education Department does close and federal funding goes with it, U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski of Illinois says that could mean teachers lose their jobs and classroom sizes get bigger.
People need to understand the impact is real and it's local. It's not this abstract Washington, D.C. Jargon. This is going to really negatively impact our communities.
Illinois receives 8.5% of its annual public education revenue from the federal government. The second-term Democrat also says she thinks there'd be fewer resources for students with special needs. While Trump has vowed to close the department, some of its programs could get shifted to other departments. It would also take congressional approval because Congress created it, and that may be a tough sell with narrow Republican majorities. In Fairview Heights, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Bread Company founder Ken Rosenthal has died. His nephew, Clay co-founder Bob Clark, announced in an online post yesterday that Rosenthal died Friday. He had opened the first Bread Co. in 1987 in Kirkwood. The local restaurant chain was eventually acquired in 1993 and later rebranded as Panera. He was 81 years old. Local entrepreneurs in underserved areas now have greater access to business loans. St. Louis Community Credit Union is partnering with BJC Healthcare, SSM Health, and the James S. McDonnell Foundation to provide up to $15 million in low-interest rate loans aimed at growing businesses. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Pastor Andre Alexander struggled to get loans in 2016 to run North St. Louis's Tabernacle Community Development Corporation. He tried four different banks before he was successfully funded. Alexander connected with the St. Louis Community Credit Union last year. He says it has tremendously helped the Tabernacle continue its housing mission. He plans to apply for more funding this year to help the Tabernacle build 18 housing units in North St. Louis.
We know all the statistics out there about home ownership of white families versus black is not even a comparison. And so we see this as a part of legacy building for generations to come.
Alexander says the investment in communities of color through banking institutions helps communities blossom. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Criminal Justice Ministry in St. Louis is helping hundreds of formerly incarcerated people get back on their feet, many of whom are veterans and have spent at least 10 years in prison. And for some of the nonprofit's caseworkers, the service hits close to home. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more on how the organization is impacting lives through its housing reentry programs.
I'm walking into a two-story building in Lafayette Square where the Criminal Justice Ministry is housed in St. Louis. Smiling faces greet me as people talk on the phone and caseworkers meet with clients. Some of those clients are just coming home after 10-year stints in various prisons across Missouri. 63-year-old Jerome Arnold is a case manager at the nonprofit.
My past, I was a drug addict. And I was sitting around the tables, we were smoking, getting high, and there was a guy that was in his program, and he was talking about the program. He was also a vet, and he told me about it, helped him with the housing, got to help him get together, and I was on my way back to jail, the probation already, and I was looking at going back because I wouldn't stop smoking drugs, and I decided to give CJM a chance.
It's been more than a decade since Arnold first became acquainted with the reentry ministry as a client. Now he says he sees himself in his own clients. He encourages them to move beyond the past.
Broken, just like I was. And a walk about it would have held head up high to be a success in what he wanted to be a success in. Not what I want them to do, but what they want to do.
The Missouri Department of Corrections reported in fiscal year 2023 that the recidivism rate had decreased by at least 10% since fiscal year 2014. The Criminal Justice Ministry's recidivism rate was just below 10% in fiscal year 2023. CJM leaders say those who reoffended were locked up again mostly due to nonviolent offenses. Sarah Topol is the executive director of the nonprofit. She says their low recidivism rate can be attributed to their intentional client care. After leaving prison, the CJM team picks them up at a bus station and brings them back to their client office before assigning a caseworker.
Everybody who joins our program receives a fully furnished apartment, and they live independently. So that's anything from furniture to bedding to pots and pans, everything in between.
They can stay in the apartment for up to a year before having the option to take over the lease for themselves. But Topol says it's not always a straightforward process.
Some of our folks might have more exacerbated mental health needs. Others might kind of really be ready to dive into work. So we are trying to meet people where they are.
Paul Faust is the community outreach coordinator at CJM. He leads me to a room with lots of supplies, including backpacks for their housing reentry clients that contain hygiene products, socks, underwear, and a bus pass. Faust says in addition to the backpacks, volunteers also put together clothing packs as requested for inmates leaving prison who lack outside support.
So we get a new pair of shoes. We get some slacks, we get a button-down shirt. This is all provided, volunteers pay for all this. And now this is going to be shipped to the institution. So it's all about restoring dignity.
Case manager Jerome Arnold says he understands the difficulty of adjusting back into society, but encourages his clients to take accountability for their lives.
An eagle going to soar, a chicken going to go back to his past and pick that past up, his feces. And who wants to stay on the ground all day?
Leaders at the Criminal Justice Ministry say that, unlike many reentry programs, every kind of offense history is accepted for their housing programs. The largely grant-funded group receives about $2.4 million in revenue annually. It also gets referrals from probation and parole departments across the state. Arnold says the job requires patience, but seeing his clients succeed makes it all worthwhile.
I do home visits once a week, telephone every day. They have to check in every day. If my client does well, I do well. That means that I did what I was supposed to do.
I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.